Hello and welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahomans, Oklahoma State football podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined as always by Jacob Unruh, and we are here once again on a Tuesday evening at Stone Cloud Brewing Company. Another fantastic night here at Stone Cloud, man.
It's just beautiful weather.
It is.
Beautiful place. There's live music here later tonight on the back patio.
Yeah. An electric harpist.
An electric harpist. I did not realize that. That's new to me. That's fantastic. That's innovative, cutting edge stuff.
That's the kind of stuff you get here at Stone Cloud. So 917 South Husband here in Stillwater. As we've told you before, we're here every Tuesday evening, usually around 6:45 to 7 o'clock, depending on what time Oklahoma State football wraps up practice and we get finished talking to players. So we finished all that up for tonight, and we are here. Thank you for joining us, whether you're listening on our podcast channel or checking us out through video on YouTube. We appreciate you always. Just to kind of wrap up the usual beginning of show stuff, we've got the newsletter we have to remind folks of. Go to oklahoma.com, find the Cowboy Sports Minute newsletter, and check that out to keep up with all the Oklahoma State stuff that is going on. Jacob and I, of course, promote our own stuff through Twitter, on the website, all over the place, so you can always come and find us and follow our content wherever you want to find it. So again, we thank you all, but with that, I think let's start with what you got here in the glass. You got a fancy glass and everything this week.
This is my favorite segment. I look forward to this segment every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
What are we drinking?
Right.
And I'm going to start. Yeah, I do have a fancy glass.
You do.
It's a very nice fancy glass. Mm-hmm. It's the High Five. It's the double IPA that Stone Cloud made for their anniversary this last weekend. Their anniversary in Oklahoma City was their fifth anniversary. And they also made a stout that I tried a sample of that is actually really fantastic. But
I wasn't
also
sure where you're going when I heard coming out here.
No. It's really fantastic.
Because I knew you enjoyed it.
It's really fantastic, but it's really strong. So yeah. I went with something a little less
strong. We need you to make it through the podcast.
Yeah, I got to make it through. But this is also fantastic.
Good deal. I'm going with an old Stone Cloud stand by Chuck Norris.
I like Chuck Norris.
Big fan. So I shouldn't say I'm a big fan. I've actually never had it. I'm just familiar with it because I know that they make it. So
yeah,
looking forward to that. So anyway, how was that one?
This is actually great.
All right,
that's good. Deal. Cheers. Here we go. Cheers. A little cheers on this one.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Good way to start the show. We'll jump in and look back really quickly at last week. Obviously, we had our post-game Twitter Spaces / podcast. And thank you to all the folks who have chimed in. We do know the audio is not the quality that we produce here on the Tuesday night show. We're doing our best. I think that week two was better than week one. Going to make a couple of more adjustments, try to get it better in week three after Arkansas Pine Bluff. But we're doing what we can to improve the quality of the audio there. But in that, we got to discuss the improved run game, Dominic Richardson establishing himself as we knew he was the number one guy, but really showing that he could go out there and be that guy. 27 carries, and listen, he was better after he injured his ankle than he was before, which is saying something, because he was really good in the first half, but misses a couple of series, and comes in and has a great second half, helps him put that game away. Defense, I thought, was better. Still some issues to resolve there with young guys. Stuff you expect this time of year with so many guys making first starts. I'm taking up the entire wrap up.
No, you're good.
I'll throw it back to you.
I'll drink beer.
Okay,
if you want to just talk the whole time, I'm good. Now, here's the thing. You mentioned Dominic Richardson. I want to emphasize how good Richardson was the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I covered him in high school for 3 of his 4 years in high school, and he was electric at McGinnis. And this looked more like the Dominic Richardson I saw in high school.
Right.
Where he was running through people, he was running around people, and it took a sprained ankle, apparently, to do it, and which is crazy to me. That hurdle, absolutely unreal. He's catching the ball more. I wrote about that in today's paper. I'm recording this on Tuesday, as we said. The running backs are catching the ball more, too. I think that's important. But Don Richardson really can change this offense if he can run the ball like he did. And I think that needs to be emphasized a lot. And I think we'll see it some this week with Pine Bluff, but we probably won't see Richardson too much.
No.
That's the hope.
Not going to have a lot of opportunities, I think, and we can get into that more.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else from Arizona State that we need to tidy up? I think we covered it pretty well in our post game. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm still impressed with Trace Ford the more I watch things.
Right.
He's going to jump out at me just the way he played. And, you know, I think that's still what stands out in my mind.
His versatility, the different types of things that he did, whether it was bull rushing a guy and pushing him back into the quarterback practically, or jumping up and knocking down a pass, getting in the quarterback's face. It was neat to see him back on that level that we were used to seeing him his first 2 years. So definitely a pleasant improvement to see him make that step. All right, with that, we'll look ahead to Arkansas Pine Bluff. Actually, we'll get in more into our Tuesday evening and what it was like visiting with players after practice tonight, because that was probably more interesting than what the game is going to be on Saturday. So, yeah. Arkansas Pine Bluff, a team that's basically won, I think, four games in the last year plus. They are 2-0 this year, but they've beaten an NAIA team and a Division II team. So, and they barely beat the Division II team, Lane College. So, not real high expectations for a team coming in here on Saturday. Harkens back to the Savannah State game of 2012.
Yeah.
When Oklahoma State won 84-0. Starters were done at the end of the first quarter. I actually reached out to Clint Shelf. That was one of the very early games in his career before he worked his way into the playing rotation on a regular basis. He was number three quarterback that day. Didn't even remember playing, really. He vaguely thought he might have played some at the end, and went and looked at the box where he actually threw a touchdown pass that day. He more recalled the heat of the day, there being a September 1st game against Savannah State in Bone Pickens Stadium. So, different type of game than what we've had the last 2 weeks at Boone Pickens Stadium, for sure.
Yeah, I think Mike Gundy alluded to it yesterday in his press conference, that the idea is here is to get their guys out as quick as possible and move forward and get other guys opportunities. You're getting chances to get some walk-ons. He mentioned specifically walk-ons and guys like that don't get to play. He wants to get a chance to honor them for sticking with the program and doing what they do and getting in this game. So I think we're going to see guys that you and I are going to look at and say, who's number whatever. Okay. We're going to be looking at the roster more than usual. But it's going to be fun, I think. I think there's going to be some good stuff come out of that, too, where you see some guys. We're going to see Gunnar Gundy. We're going to see Garrett Rangel make his debut. Going to be lots of things to watch. Just not necessarily from the starters. I mean, you want them to take care of business real quick and move on.
Yeah, every week, and I did it this week. I wrote it today. It'll be in Wednesday's paper. It'll be online sometime Wednesday. But I do the redshirt tracker, keeping track of who's playing toward that minimum four games to maintain their redshirt or going past it. After the Arizona State game, only one true freshman actually appeared in the game, and that was Ollie Gordon. I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to redshirt at this point as a guy that's in the running back rotation. So the rest of those guys, there were three other guys that played in the opener, Braylon Presley, Cameron Epps, and Stephon Johnson Jr.
Yes,
they all played in the opener, did not play in the second game. So certainly an opportunity that maybe they appear again this week and then go back into hiding for a while. So as that redshirt opportunity looms with that 4-game rule.
This is the fans' chance to see Braylon Presley, probably.
Right.
That really get a good look at Braylon Presley.
He's a guy that could be on the field a lot this week, third quarter,
and that's really fun. Because he's an electric player in high school at Bixby, and they love what he's done so far. So I think this opportunity to see a guy like that, this is what you want to watch, is a Braylon Presley going out and getting his chance.
I got a little nervous. We just passed him on a scooter.
Yeah, so I was thinking that.
He was crossing the Hall of Fame in front of Boone Pickens Stadium as we were on our way over here, and had to yield to him as he came across the crosswalk. And I thought, that's a little nerve-wracking for a guy that is one day going to be an important piece of this offense.
My family's not in favor of scooters for lots of reasons that I'm not going to go into on here, but we're not in favor of. And you also made the comment, yeah, we can't run over Braylon Presley right, here. Exactly. It's like, yeah, probably a bad idea.
Yeah. aside from the legal ramifications, I would be not allowed in Stillwater City limits ever again.
Yeah, I'd have a new beat partner.
Yeah, absolutely. all right, well, let's discuss our Tuesday evening. Obviously, we discussed last week, things are different. We're split up. We're not all interviewing the same people at the same time. And got some really interesting stuff. We talked to Thomas Harper, Sione Asi on the defensive side, Jake Schultz, and Taylor Materko on the offensive side. Everywhere I popped in, I talked to everybody but Schultz. I know you talked to him for quite a bit, and so I kind of hit the other guys during that time. And I know you don't want to give away all the secrets.
We gotta save some of this
for our valued readers. Yes. But seems like a really interesting dude.
Yeah, Jake Schultz. Was a walk on from Prague, Oklahoma, not Prague, right, Prague, exactly. Oklahoma, and he's a guy that's kind of moved around the country a little bit for a while when he was younger, with his dad's job, and played tight end and linebacker at Prague, actually, and was a pretty good player. Chose to walk on here instead of taking some scholarship offers. And he's a guy that started out as a Leo, moved to defensive line – or linebacker, sorry, moved to linebacker, back to Leo, and then now cowboy back tight end slash tight end, whatever you want to call it, where he caught a lot of passes in high school. I mean, he had big games, but he always said he liked defense more. And so he thought that he was going to do that, but they needed bodies this year, and so he moved to cowboy back, and it's worked out. He can catch the ball. He's really grown really fast, really likes it. And so it's been he seems really pleased with his progress, and I think kind of surprised by his progress at the same time, especially that position. Because it's been a while since he's caught passes, but here he is doing it, and he's doing it pretty well.
Yeah, he is, and it was one of the surprises early. I would say probably looking back at the first depth chart that came out before Central Michigan to see him listed as an or option with Braden Cassidy, who made the same switch from defensive end, but has been at the position a lot longer, to see them kind of splitting that number one role in the tight end slash cowboy back position is pretty interesting, because I mean we weren't really aware of the fact that he even changed positions.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet. Yeah.
So it wasn't something that anybody was making a big deal about. So to see him make that type of progress and be in that realm to be ready to make this, I mean, he's playing ahead of guys that were recruited as tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty impressive for him to make the strides that he has.
And Braden Cassidy switches a little different, because Braden didn't even catch passes in high school.
No.
And so we talked about that last year, that he really couldn't catch the ball.
Right.
And all of a sudden he started catching midseason, started catching some passes. Mm-hmm. But I think Schultz is a little advanced in that he can actually catch the ball
right
off the bat.
A little more natural for him.
It's a natural thing. And I think that when you get that, I think that's a big change for Roshu. I think they're looking to throw the ball there more. I mean, clearly, because they moved, you know, Blaine Green there, they want to throw the ball that position, I think. And so I think that's part of the reason you pick Schultz out of that lineup.
Right, exactly. And I visited with Thomas Harper and actually asked him about Jake Schultz, because obviously with Schultz having been on defense number one for a couple of years, and then he and Thomas Harper have been on special teams together over the past couple of years, and Thomas talked about how number one, how athletic Jake is, and number two, how competitive he is, that you could tell early on that he was a guy that was going to make some kind of an impact. It wasn't exactly clear where he was going to make that impact, but you absolutely see it coming now for him there at the tight end position. So really interesting transition for him to be this involved this early. So neat to see a walk-on, small school kid make that type of jump, because obviously he really banked on himself a lot, and it's paying off for him. It's neat to see.
Yeah, and you mentioned small school. I'd forgotten that Prague was 2A that year,
mm-hmm.
His senior year. And so it was a small school, but to see him do this, I just think it's really cool. I mean, it's a fun story. Look for more later on Jake Schultz from us, but I think you got that, and then you got some interesting stories tonight. You like I said, you talked Thomas Harper a lot more than I did, and Sione Aussie was interesting too. But what stood out to you about Sione? I think Sione was a guy that really stood out to me tonight.
There was so much. It's hard I mean, he held court.
He did.
I stepped up to the scrum around Sione two different times, once at the very beginning and then once at the end. I was there for probably 5 or 6 minutes the first time. They moved around, talked to some other guys, came back, and was there for like 11 or 12 more minutes at the end. And I don't know how long I was gone in between. So he was really holding court. And he's just such a unique, cultured guy. You know, he's today's his birthday.
Yes.
And he's 26, I believe.
I think so.
But I'm pretty sure he's 26 now.
Yeah, he's the old guy on the team.
Yeah, he is, except for Tom Hutton. But
Tom Hutton,
But Sione, a Polynesian, went on a two-year Mormon mission out of high school, then went to Snow College, came to Oklahoma State, redshirted because of an injury his first year here. played a couple of seasons, then got a super senior year, and now he's back. So he's a dude that is taking advantage of his opportunities to be a college football player. You know, he talked a lot about the depth of defensive tackle, that he feels that they're in a lot better situation there. You know, from his personal perspective, he likes to talk about how tired he gets on the field as a 6'1", 310-pound guy. So he appreciates the ability of those guys to come in behind him and give him a rest. You know, every time we visit with him, it seems like the topic of food comes
up. Yeah, I walked up the middle of that. I was really disappointed because I was going to ask him about it. I had to go walk away for a second for something else. And I come back and he's talking about food. Is he into fish right now?
Yeah, he talked a lot about there was a particular fish dish that he cooks really well.
Okay.
That has a Polynesian name that I won't try to
repeat. I like fish.
Yeah.
You know, last year he invited me over to eat at his house, and then it didn't happen. So I'm going to try to hold him to that this year because I think I'd like to have a meal cooked by Sione Asi to see what this is all about, because apparently he could really cook.
Sounds that way.
But I asked him about his first time fishing, you know, and learning to fish, who taught him, and it was Drew Brown. I'm going to forget names. It was Drew Brown, Wilson. Dylan Stoner, and Johnny Wilson. Yes, that's exactly. Right, yes. And so that's an interesting crew right there itself to teach him how to fish, and it took a while, and he loves it. He's got a daughter that's a little over one now that he adores and is really pleased, you know, really proud about to talk about. And so I think Sione's just a different guy on this team that's a different part of life. Also, while he's playing college football, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun every time we get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, football is probably the least fun thing to talk to him about, and I don't mean that in a
no,
mean way.
No, he's a good talker about
it. He is good, but there's just so many other interesting things about him and about his views on things. He's really good at talking about other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to him a lot about Tyler Lacey and the developments he's making this year, Samuela Tuihalamaka and the developments that he's making this year.
Greg Richmond. He talked a lot about Greg Richmond, the defensive line coach.
Some great insight about Greg Richmond and the changes, the dynamic change from having Richmond and Joe Bob Clemens coaching the defensive line to now just Greg Richmond. Greg Richmond being on the sidelines now for the first time in his career, essentially, at Oklahoma State, and how things have changed there. So it was some really interesting stuff that we'll be able to share later on when we get around to writing about those stories. So a lot of fun. Thomas Harper was fun to talk to. He, just like his brother, Devin, on the quiet side.
Yeah.
But still entertaining. We got to talk to him a lot about Devin, who got to play a decent amount of special teams for the Cowboys over the weekend in his NFL debut. And Thomas said he had spoken to him, and Devin was doing really well. Really
that's
enjoyed
good.
Enjoyed the opportunity.
I missed that conversation, so that's good to know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Thomas talked a lot about the communication in the secondary and the kind of natural progression that it's going through right now as they go from game one to game two to game three now, and they really feel that is becoming more solidified. A lot better understanding of what's going on. Still had some busts against Arizona State. Had the big one that set up the late touchdown there in the second half. I guess it was early in the third quarter, actually. But yeah, really some important developments that they're making that are going to help this secondary. Because, you know, it's so easy to refer to the back seven as young guys because there's so many guys making first starts. But they're all juniors.
It's all older guys.
With the exception of Kendall Daniels, who is a redshirt freshman and is really coming in as a backup to Sean Michael Flanagan, it's all guys that have been on campus 3 years or longer, or in the case of Xavier Benson, a junior.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in his fourth year of college.
Yeah, he started as a true freshman at Texas Tech. So he's used to Big 12.
First year at Oklahoma State. So, it's just so many new guys that you know, getting on the same page, being as adept in the defense as what these guys were that we saw, they're in these positions a year ago, is going to take some time. So it certainly seems like they're making progress. You know, the first drive against Arizona State where they go straight down the field and they end up holding and forcing a field goal, and then that's all they give up in the first half. So you're definitely seeing progress from this defense in the right manner. So. Let's see, who else was there? Taylor Materko.
I didn't talk to Taylor Materko much, I'll admit. I listened a little bit, and then I went and held court with Thomas Harper for a minute. But Yeah, I didn't get to talk to him much. It seemed like he's getting comfortable at his guard position right. there at left yeah. guard. And I did hear, you know, he talked about that and getting comfortable there and getting other guys comfortable too.
Yeah, he's a guy who had never played guard mm-hmm. really in his life. It always been a tackle. You know, obviously that's where usually where the big guy always ends up at a lower level because it's such an important position. So coming up, always a tackle. And Charlie Dickey approached him with the idea of trying left guard. After they saw the progress that Caleb Etienne was making as a potential left tackle, and Maturka was all for it, stepped inside there and is really getting comfortable. Talked about how knowing what the left tackle is supposed to do really helps him understand his role as the left guard. So you know, that's an important development for this offensive line. They're still trying to find their footing, I think, and play cohesively. I think individually you're seeing some improvement from guys, but the unit, the entire five, I don't think have gelled yet. I think that's the next step for this yeah, group.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's the next 2 weeks are going to be used for that. This yeah. week with Pine Bluff, and then you know, you got the bye week, you got Baylor. So I think the offensive line may play a little longer than other starters,
yeah,
just to keep going possible. That getting that group going. Maybe the secondary a little bit too, but I think that's going to be the focus.
Yeah, absolutely, and that sort of shines a light on what these 2 weeks are really about for this mm-hmm. team, because with Pine Bluff, you assume you can show up, mm-hmm. run your stuff, and go out and win that game pretty easily, and then like you said, the bye week before you get ready for a road trip to Baylor, which really turns the fire up quickly on this team. You've got 2 weeks of really heavy self-improvement, really focusing on what you do. It's almost like a mini version of preseason camp again.
Yeah.
Right here in you know, 2 weeks into the season. So really important that that they're in that mindset of improving themselves more so than worrying about what's on film from an opponent mm-hmm. or anything like that. So any other areas or any other parts of conversations that stuck out to you tonight? We covered everything pretty well.
I think we covered everything pretty well. You know, I'm interested in Sione just fascinates me, so I keep going to him, but right. I don't want to reveal too much there.
Yeah,
so I think we hold on to that. I think it's just a good group this week for a week that you're not expecting a lot with Pine Bluff necessarily.
Right. Yeah. It felt like it could have been sort of an off week for media, but not the case. That said, next week we won't actually get to talk to players on Tuesday.
That's true.
We'll just get to visit with Mike Gundy.
Yeah, we'll talk about what Gundy said next
week.
Yeah,
we'll share with you what Mike Gundy has to say following practice next Tuesday, I assume. We haven't actually heard the
that's
exact
true.
Media
that's
schedule.
Usually the plan.
That's usually how they run it on open weeks. So you and I visited with Mike Gundy after his press conference the other day. He talked about the fact that, sort of playing into what we were just talking about the extra focus on self, going to work in an extra practice more
yeah.
so than what he's done in the past with open weeks. Partly because it comes this early in the season, they can afford it. Secondly, because they need it.
They need the practice. They need the extra work, and I think it's the right call. I mean, I think you know, you give them an extra day. It's an extra day to prepare for Baylor too. To
right.
be honest,
exactly.
And so I think that's huge.
Yeah, I'm working on a story coming up for the Thursday paper, looking back at what the experience of playing Savannah State was like 10 years ago. And got some really interesting stuff. And again, not going to give away all the goodies
yeah.
on the podcast. You have to come check out my story. But with that said, I visited with Cooper Bassett, the well-known Oklahoma State defensive lineman from back in the day. And he was talking about film preparation for that Savannah State game. And he said by the second day of watching film on Savannah State, which was the season opener at the time, defensive coordinator Bill Young came in and said, "We're done with this. We're not going to worry about this anymore. We're going to start watching film on Arizona," which was the week 2 opponent. And that was that sort of turned on a light bulb for exactly what
yeah.
what type of what they were seeing on film and what they knew yeah. that they were getting ready to face. So, but yeah, look for that story on Thursday. I've got to visit with a couple of former players about that one. And just some fun stuff. Really looking forward to writing that story. So, with that said, you want to tease your pregame
sure.
story?
Sure. I mean, you know, I'm writing about Sean Michael Flanagan.
Yeah,
I'll
we got
be
to
honest.
Visit with him last week.
I did. We visited him last week, and I've talked with people back in his hometown now, and a guy that's just very from a small rural town in Arkansas, 3,000 people or so, Charleston, and just kind of these humble background that's, and he's waited his turn and now he's going to start. So that's what I'll give you right now.
And, you know, we go through August covering the team.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the week of the season opener, there are very few surprises. But to have heard all the buzz about Kendall Daniels throughout camp and then see Flanagan listed as the starter and then see him play as much as he did in the opener, even though Daniels ended up with 11 tackles in the opener,
yeah,
was a pretty significant surprise.
And yeah, and he's a fifth-year guy. He's been here for a while. Has waited his turn, and he's trying to make the most of it. And I think this is the chance that he gets that he's finally earned. And so I think it's really cool to see.
I know the team can't afford to look ahead to Baylor, but we can just a bit.
Just a bit.
And we kind of visited about this earlier on our drive to Stillwater, but I think if there's one area where you're really concerned about this team holding up, it's got to be in the secondary.
Right? I think so. I think the secondary has been okay.
Right.
That's what I'm going to say. They've been okay. They haven't been great. They haven't been bad. But I think when you get a quarterback like Blake Shapen in 2 weeks that picked the secondary apart that was really talented experience last year, and you get him in 2 weeks, he could really expose some things. And so I think that's a concern. I think the OSU's got to focus on that the next 2 weeks to really kind of get that secondary just a little more solidified. It's not bad. Like I said, it's been pretty solid, but they're about to get a whole different level of a passing attack against them, and I think that's going to be key.
Yep. Absolutely. Two questions before we get into predictions.
Yes.
Number one, how's the beer?
The beer's great. How's yours?
Fantastic. I'm really enjoying it. Trying to pace myself a little bit so I'm not finished before the show's over.
That's fair.
Yeah. It's really good. I can understand the name. It's definitely a chuggable beer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chuck Norris is a big time.
Yeah. Really good. Number two, anything else that we haven't covered before we get to predictions?
No, I think so. I think I'm ready for predictions, which I did exactly no preparation for. Yeah. You sent me the topics, but I still didn't prepare
for it. That's good. I appreciate consistency above all else.
This is what I'm going to do every week. I'm going to be like, okay, cool, great topics, and I'm still not going to prepare for them.
I tell you what, one of these weeks, I'm going to change all three categories and just see if you notice.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fair.
All right. So we talked about the level of competition we expect Oklahoma State to face, the fact that we don't expect to see Spencer Sanders beyond the end of the first quarter. So our first prediction, more passing yards, Gunnar Gundy or Garrett Rangel?
Man, I think I'm going to go with Gundy.
Are you?
I think so. He hasn't got to attempt a pass yet.
Right.
In his two games he's played in his career, he has not attempted a pass. I think he's going to air it out this time.
I can see that. I'm going with Rangel on this.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a weird weird scenario that is replaying in my head, but I think back to a game that Taylor Cornelius got into at the end of a blowout the year before he was the starter, and he had two big plays in it. One was a huge run, which was completely unexpected from that dude at that time because we didn't know that much about him. But the other one was a deep throw that went for either a long play or a touchdown. I can't remember exactly. But Mike Gundy pointed out that he had to go apologize for them throwing the ball that deep, that late in a blowout win. But I think if Rangel gets a chance to air it out, I think he might take that opportunity.
Okay,
because he knows that he's number three at this point.
Yeah.
He knows that he didn't get to play in the opener. He's got limited opportunities to be on the field this year. I'm not saying he's going to go again. You know, he's not going to be changing plays in the huddle.
No.
But if it comes to a read option, he might take a chance and chunk it. So.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Logically, I think Gundy is the pick. I think he probably plays more.
Yeah, I think he does.
He still gets in when it's only like maybe a 35-point game as opposed to being a 50-point game.
I think Gundy might get two quarters where everyone else gets a quarter.
Very possible. Very possible.
Do we see Gavin Parker, the walk-on?
I would
say no.
I would say no just because of the opportunity to have Gundy and Rangel on the field.
Yeah, I think so.
Though you never know.
That's my bonus question for you. There's no research there in my head. I just bonus question.
Right. All right. So. While we're on the topic of bonus questions, I'm going to throw out one.
Oh.
Every week we've predicted running back carries for Dominic Richardson.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and add it in this week. Over or under 6.5. To look back, we I think we had
12 last week, right? Or 12.5?
Maybe 13 and a half, and he doubled that.
Yeah, he did.
And the week before that, we had, I think, a higher number, and he went way below it. Yeah. So really hard to project.
I think you said 6.5?
6.5.
I think I'm going to go above that.
I'm going under.
I just think that in one quarter, and it starts getting bad, they might just start handing the ball off.
Yeah. It's possible.
And so I'm going to go over. I'm probably wrong because I took the under last week, and he went way above. So yeah. I'm no good at this one.
Yeah. All right. So we're three questions in, and we've actually only asked one question.
Well, that's fine.
To number two, over under 6.5 total sacks for the Cowboys.
Ooh, 6.5.
They're at 5.5 right now for the season, which is a little slower than
I'm going over.
A year ago.
I'm going over.
Are you?
I think so. I just think this – I mean, first of all, to rotate the defensive line is going to take a lot anyway. So all those guys are sack machines. Yeah. And so I just think that they're going to – really wreak some havoc there.
Right. It's like you start talking about second string defensive linemen.
Yeah. Your second string's really calling Oliver.
Exactly.
Your third string's Trey's Ford, technically.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, he's not, but it's technically, you start going in order.
Exactly.
It's Trey's Ford, which is insane.
And you're still talking about, a defensive tackle like Colin Clay being on the field for a significant portion.
Aiden Kelly's had experience. He's going to be,
Nathan Latu, who they were really excited about in preseason camp.
Yeah, I'm taking the over.
Ben Kapinski. We haven't even gotten down to Ben Kapinski.
He played well last year, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, over. What are you taking on that? Over?
I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they could go over it by halftime, honestly.
They could, yeah.
And then back off and not have any more at that point. But, yeah. Anyway. All right. Last one on the list here, over under 1.5 Tom Hutton punting appearances.
1.5.
So we're not counting holding for extra points.
Right.
Just punting.
Over under. I think I'm going to go over.
Okay.
Only because I think in the second half, they're going to really slow it down and pull back.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I don't know that they're going to use a backup punter.
Right.
So
yeah, you get to the point where you're playing Garrett Ringale and asking him not to throw, and you're playing walk-on running backs.
Yeah,
behind young offensive linemen. It's definitely possible.
And punter's not one you necessarily pull the guy that's your guy.
Yeah.
So I think over.
I'm still going under.
Under.
I think that they manage to keep first downs rolling enough to.
That's
to keep
fine. I'll probably be wrong too. I'm usually wrong on these, so it's fine. It's because I research it really heavily. I'm wrong.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, anything else before we move on to our final topic, which is, of course, not football related?
No, but I think we got to bring up something that's not – it's OSU related, but it's not current OSU related.
Okay.
How about Malcolm Rodriguez?
Oh, my goodness. Him and Jalen Warren.
And Jalen Warren, yes.
I mean, now there's a different – Malcolm was on a different level.
Yes.
He hip tosses – a six-time All-Pro, one of the best offensive center in the game or of this generation. One of for sure. And Jason Kelsey.
Jason Kelsey never saw it coming.
No,
that's the thing. He's pushing around thinking, "Oh, it's some rookie," and all of a sudden he just ends up being flipped over. I mean, and it was remarkable. And Malcolm played really well. I saw today. I think he graded out as the highest rookie linebacker or defensive player maybe on PFF of the week. He's remarkable. He got in there. The biggest play, I thought, they didn't play him on third downs at all, if much at all, until the end of the game, third and one. They need to get the ball back from Philadelphia. And he comes in there and pops the running back for a no gain. Has to go out on fourth down because I think he got a little stung. I think he's fine, but he got a little stung. And then Philadelphia immediately gets the first down because they go for it on fourth down to steal the game.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of play you're getting from Malcolm Rodriguez already. It's incredible.
It really is.
And he looks so small out there height-wise, which was the biggest issue for him. And he looks so short. But he's just so strong and talented and sound. It's fun to watch still, even from afar.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And really quickly on Jalen Warren, go find that clip out there. It's on social media as well. If you have trouble finding it, go to Scott Wright. Okay, I retweeted it from John Wozniak.
Yeah.
But the he comes in because Najee Harris gets hurt. Warren steps up into the in front of the quarterback to block and just blows up a defender coming at him and slings him across the field. It was really really impressive, really cool to see so many guys getting opportunities on the field for Oklahoma State from Oklahoma State in the NFL. So, all right, with that, last week we talked about chips, our favorite chips.
Yes.
Yes. This week. My idea for this was inspired from the podcast a couple of weeks ago. We discussed that our favorite sports movies both
Bull Durham. Yeah.
And so I thought,
rules.
It absolutely does. But I thought there's no reason for us to get into a sports movie discussion.
Right.
But I figure if we limit it to football, that changes the dynamic.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Football, very different. I was thinking about this year. There's not as many good football movies as there are baseball.
No, there's not. I think it's hard to make.
It's very hard to recreate the action in football.
Yeah.
Very difficult. So with that said, we're going to go top three football movies. We'll do it draft style.
Okay.
And since I went first last week, I'll let you go first this
week. All right. I'm going to take – this is a no-brainer for me. This is movie came out when I was in school. Remember the Titans. Love that movie.
Strong.
It became a movie in my school. I don't know if it was middle school, high school. I can't remember exactly. But we watched it all the time in class for whatever reason, for maybe the coaches that taught. I don't know. Like, you know, that just decided we're going to watch all the time.
Right.
But I also have a connection to it because I got to actually interview Herman Boone, Herman Boone, when I worked at the Lawton Constitution down there in Lawton many moons ago. And it was really one of the coolest things, sitting there to actually talk to Herman Boone, talk to him about that experience, the movie experience, his career. You know, he has since passed away, but that was really cool. And so Remember the Titans always kind of holds that special place to me.
Really strong start. I cannot disagree with that as a number one selection. With that off the table, now if I had had the first pick, I probably would have gone with it anyway. But I'm going with Rudy.
That's okay. That's good.
Really hard.
That's
really
good.
Hard to beat. It's yeah. It's one of those that if I come across it on TV, I'm done for however much longer is left in the movie.
I haven't watched that in years.
Really,
it's been a really really long time.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it. It's one of those that you know it so well, it's easy to just jump in the middle
and
know what's going on.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
All right.
I think my second one
mm-hmm.
has to be Any Given Sunday.
That's solid.
I like that movie for some reason. I've always liked that movie. It's gritty.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of long, but it's really – really just – I think – I don't know if it's accurate by any means of what an NFL really is like, but it's – I always just enjoyed it. I enjoyed the acting and the writing and things like that. So
yeah, it's solid. Yeah. Jamie Foxx is a lot of fun in that.
Yeah,
some other really interesting characters in that movie.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that. Similar movie in terms of the glamorization, but at the high school level, I'm going with Varsity Blues next.
That's a good one. That's good. A really, really good one.
I randomly quote this movie at times that don't necessarily fit the situation. Well, the people don't realize that I'm quoting it, and I'm the only one laughing at my joke.
Right, yeah.
Like I go, a 10.
That's good.
Just at random times.
That's a good one.
You know, things like that, things that Tweeter said, different different moments from that movie that live on in infamy. So, all right. Well, that brings it back to you for your final pick.
I'm torn a little bit here. But I think I'm going to go with Radio.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I think the movie's phenomenal and fantastic. But I'm also a huge Gary Smith fan,
mm-hmm.
the old Sports Illustrated writer who wrote the story that the movie's based off of.
Right.
And I love the story. I love his writing. And so I love that movie just because of everything involved with that. I think the movie tells the story very well. But if you go and read the actual Gary Smith story, and you'll love the movie even more.
Yeah, definitely. My last one was very difficult. I came really close to going with Little Giants.
I thought about that earlier.
We talked about how hard it is to recreate football action. I think that movie does it better than anything because it's little kids and it's a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah.
With little kids,
that's not good.
Not the same level of violence. I thought about Brian's Song.
That was one I was debating with Radio. Really, was Brian's Song.
That's a really strong one. I'm going a little bit
the old school one, not the remake.
Right. But my last one. Oh, Jerry Maguire was another one.
That's
I don't
a
know.
Good one, yeah.
I think that counts as a football movie, right?
And I'll be honest. The first time I saw Jerry Maguire was like within the last 2 years.
The first time?
First time ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Then.
I don't know why, but I think I got in my head like I don't need to watch this because all I hear is the quotes from it. So I never did, and I watched it, and it's fantastic.
It is.
So it probably should have been on my list.
Really, really good movie. I'm going with a little bit of a weird one though.
Yeah.
I don't know why I like this movie as much as I do because it doesn't seem to get the critical acclaim that I think it deserves. Draft Day.
Oh, with
Kevin Costner as the Browns.
I've actually never seen it.
Really?
I've never seen
all
it.
Right. That's I'm not surprised by
that. I can't say yay or nay on this. Right. I have no idea.
I'm not surprised by that. Some of the things that happen are very unrealistic.
Yeah.
But I really like the creativity that they used and how they shot it. Because, you know, he's a GM. He's making phone calls all the time. And, you know, how they work the cameras with phone calls. A lot of different stuff that they do that I thought was a lot of fun and really creative to make it flow really well.
The other ones I thought of, The Replacements with Keanu Reeves. Love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler.
I like both Longest Yards.
Yeah.
I like them both.
Yeah, and honestly, Waterboy's pretty good too. That's a little older, but I liked it. You know, some of those considered, but, you know, I'm pretty pleased with the three.
Waterboy, another one that will occasionally creep into being quoted.
Yes.
Foosball references.
Yes, I do that. I still do that, yes.
Things like that. So
foosball's the devil.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I think that that does it. We'll wrap it up from here at Stone Cloud. Once again, thanks to the folks here taking great care of us, giving us some beer to drink. It's been fantastic. We're really enjoying this. Really hope that we can get some fans out here to come hang out with us on a Tuesday evening. Like we said, usually around 6:45 we're here and on the air by 7. So come out, check it out. Or just come check it out anytime. If you're in Stillwater, or up here for whatever reason, come check it out. Great place, really cool atmosphere, and great beer. So anything else? I think that's about
it, right? I think we've covered it.
I think we did. All right, well, thanks to...
we got to subscribe to the newsletter.
The newsletter, don't forget the
newsletter.
Thanks
for the newsletter.
Right.
Follow us on Twitter. Yes. Find us on oklahoman.com.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
All right. Thanks to our viewers, thanks to our listeners, and thanks to Addison for putting this all together, making it sound like we know what we're doing here technically, because it's obvious that we don't.
No.
So, anyway. All right. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you next week.
Cheers.